Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today brought to you by the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. I welcome a bucket list guest on the podcast today. I always tell people he's
like... make me feel old.
No, you're like my crazy uncle who I love, man. That's what you
Is
are.
Is that a good thing?
No, that's a great thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Randy Peterson, Des Moines Register. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, it's very nice to be here in your luxurious office.
You like this?
I do. I like this.
It's a little different.
I do like this.
It's a little different from the Des Moines Register. Because you guys have that beautiful...
We got stuff on the walls. We have windows that overlook downtown Des Moines.
It's like a dungeon in here.
Jason needs to get you some pictures or something.
We will. We'll continue to...
You need a pool table. You need a poker table. You need a bar.
You know where the big man sits up there. Why don't you drop those lines of knowledge to him on your way out?
I probably got some baggage on him too, you know?
You probably do. You go way back with him, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Randy, speaking of the
Actually, my
the
oldest
primary
daughter
owner.
Was, my oldest daughter was, used to hang around with Luch and Bench Sampson, and there was just kind of a nice little clicky group of kids.
So you knew
because I'm not from Ankeny, but I lived here for over 20 years. So
you knew the big man when he was in like high school.
I knew him before he was in high school.
Oh man,
I knew him before he was a big man. I knew him when he was nobody, when he had hair.
Was he as good of a baseball player as he claims?
No, are you kidding? No. Don't let him tell you that any different. He was no Bench Sampson.
We're speaking of the guy who primarily owns Cyclone Fanatic. By
He'll
the way.
Never listen to this.
He might, because you're here.
Okay.
He doesn't generally listen to the podcast.
All right.
So.
I love you, Jason.
We got a lot to talk about, Randy. I want to talk about the Iowa State basketball team, obviously. That's why a lot of people are tuning in. I was inspired to do this podcast, though. I'm a big Bill Simmons fan. I just love his work. I love the BS Report is his weekly podcast. He recently had on Bob Ryan, who wrote a book. Have you read Bob's book?
I've got it, and I'm about a third of the way through it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm playing.
One of my son-in-laws got it for me for my birthday a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So, nice.
Yeah. Thanks for the present, by the way.
I didn't know it was your birthday.
Oh, that's okay.
Are you on Facebook anymore?
Anymore?
You were on it there for a while.
I didn't. It's something that registers.
They made you do it, right?
They did it for me.
Oh.
They did it. I haven't never been on it, so I have no clue.
And you're like, your mugshot on your Facebook page was from like 1980.
When I used to cover spring training. Oh, it was before that.
Oh, was it?
When I used to cover spring training. Yeah, when I went down to spring training every year for about 10 days.
Well, because you added me on Facebook one day, and
It wasn't me, trust me.
Well, because I think I sent you a message, and I was like, yes, you're here.
You may have.
Or I wrote on your wall or something, and I never got a response.
So you're way out over my skis on that one. It wasn't me. It was somebody at the register used to administer all that stuff. There's a few of us who don't do Facebook, and they used to do that. Now, I do know how to post stories to Facebook. I do know the right buttons to click on that deal. And I do the Twitter.
Yeah, so. The Twitter.
I do the Twitter.
That's one of the things I want to talk to you about.
All right.
But doesn't Tommy Birch, your colleague, have like his own like fan page on
He's
Facebook?
Birchy is a click whore. He has everything. I mean, you travel with Birchy and you're out to dinner with him and he's got three cell phones going. No, he's got his cell phone
he's
going.
Tweeting this.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know how his thumbs can put up with it. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I've always told Birchy, I said, keep me out of your stuff. Don't put that at Randy Pete or whatever it is. I said, you're on your own, pal.
You're big on that.
Yeah.
Because you and I, we travel together a lot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you probably get annoyed with how I am on the Twitter.
Sometimes.
And that's fine. that's interesting because you said that to me numerous
I don't like my life to be necessarily an open book.
Yeah, you've said that to me numerous times. Yeah. Keep this off of the Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, and nothing bad.
No.
It's nothing bad.
No, it's
I mean,
not
we're sitting
like
there in Kansas City having a hamburger and a
correct.
And a fry or whatever and a Bud Light.
Yeah.
Or you're having a Busch Light or whatever.
Yeah.
Or a Diet
that's
Coke.
Generally how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, And I just, you know, that's fine.
In your opinion, his Twitter... is it helped or hurt sports journalism?
It has helped. Reluctantly, I say that.
Yeah, very reluctantly.
Very reluctantly. It has helped sports journalism because it's another avenue. Let me back up. If you can weed through the BS on the Twitter, it helps sports journalism. It helps journalism as a, everywhere, because there are stories, very, very good stories, very well crafted. Grantland, for example, on the website, you can get Bob Ryan, you know, or whatever. You can get those stories. You can find links for those stories that people are tweeting on Twitter, and you can find those stories and click onto those. And in that respect, it's good. News breaks on Twitter anymore. I don't care whether it's sports or whatever ISIS was doing in Australia or Australia, you know, last couple of days or so. You can get news breaks on Twitter. They're at the Register or the Gannett or whatever. It's got this subscription service called Data Miner. I think that's the name of it. Where, I mean, I probably got 10 Data Miner updates on my phone right now, from everywhere in the country. So, you know, and you're tweeting from live events. I'm tweeting from live events. You can follow sports to a certain extent on Twitter. It's the crackpots that I have a problem with. It's the guys sitting in the basement with their underwear on, just out there trying to start stuff.
And who are watching the game and acting like they're reporting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, the wannabes and the people who are trying to start stuff. You know, I went through that whole stuff a couple of years ago or a year ago, whenever it was, with the fake Randy Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
That was annoying. That was very annoying, because initially it started out kind of cute and fun, but then it got to be very, very annoying because the people were tweeting bad stuff. I mean, not personal bad stuff, but stuff that I wouldn't tweet.
Yeah.
For example, they were tweeting about it just happened to First Surfers during the basketball season. They were tweeting that as me ripping the Big 12 basketball officials.
I remember that.
That would not happen. I'm friends with a lot of those basketball officials. You've seen who I talk to during those games.
Absolutely.
I would not rip a Big 12 basketball official. And so it got nasty, and then a couple of Big 12 officials asked me about it, and I said, no, it's not me. It's a fake account. And that's what they thought. I sent an email to John Underwood at the Big 12 office. I said, John, here's the deal. If you have a chance, if you've got a master blast email that you can send all the officials in the Big 12 conference, please tell them please tell the officials that I care about in the Big 12 conference. You know, there's a handful of them, and you know who they are. Tell them that it's not me. I mean, and he did, but that was annoying. And finally it got to the point where, there were even some places where I was allegedly taking shots at Fred Hoiberg. You know, that's the dumbest thing a person could do. So I'd had enough of it. And it got to the point where the Register got involved with Gannett Corporate. The lawyers got involved in it and got it stopped. And so I know there's another one out there now, but the way it was initially gone, I mean, they were using my picture, they were using...
It was identical to your actual profile, other than just tiny little tweaks.
Right, yeah, exactly. And initially people thought it was me, and it wasn't. So in that respect, the Twitter annoys me. But for the most part, I'm going to sit here and say it right now. I'm watching... you know, Blue Bloods on Friday night or whatever, and watching Twitter updates on college basketball or football games that are going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it allows you to multitask like that. So
you were a guy this is why I've always respected you so much. When we started doing Cyclone Fanatic, and actually it goes back before that, when I was working for Dace and Narcisse at Cyclone Nation, you were a guy who... We got a lot of weird looks for a long time. We being Cyclone Fanatic.
Right.
It's hard for anybody to sound credible when you say you work for CycloneFanatic.com.
Right.
I completely understand that. But you always went to bat for us. I felt like, I mean, you actually respected the type of work that we were trying to do. You showed me respect from day one, where not everybody in Ames did. I've always appreciated that. Why did you, though?
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for that. And I feel I'm a fairly good judge of character. And you struck me of knowing what you're doing. You weren't a crackpot. You weren't out there trying to just make a name for yourself. You were out there trying to do something that needed to be done. Iowa State is not did not at that time did not have three or four websites mm-hmm. devoted to Iowa State, like University of Iowa does, for example. And they're shooting at me already. I know you're fanatics, but that's fine.
No, but it's true.
But it is true.
Yeah,
there was nothing legitimate for Iowa State fans to interact with, to commingle with, to get involved in, to feel like they're part of the show, which your website has allowed them to do. You became credible to me, and I don't know which one it was, but when you started showing up at press conferences, okay, that's credible to me. That's when a lot of people can do these, and a lot of people do these from never going to a press conference, never going to an athletic event, never getting to know the behind-the-scenes stuff mm-hmm. of what's going on. That, to me, they're doing people a disservice. You went about it the right way, in my estimation. You went to press conferences. You got to know the coaches. You got to know the players. You got to know the administrators. You're hanging out. I've seen you up at, I see you in Ames. You're there just as much as I am. I mean, just hanging out. You know that you've got to be around even when there's not a game going on, even when there's not a press conference going mm-hmm. on. Just hang out. Get some FaceTime. You've done that, and I respected that from the start.
And what I appreciated so much, though, is because, no offense, but you, to me, like just from an outsider, and a lot of people listening to this would be like a guy where would just shoot down the fan site.
I'm the curmudgeon.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
How people could think that,
no,
though.
Absolutely.
But you, that's what I loved about it, though, is you actually looked at our body of work.
Yeah.
And didn't just judge us
right.
because we had the name Cyclone Fanatic.
Right. No, and
that's
and
what I appreciated.
And I also obviously know who helps you with this. I mean, got you mm-hmm. started, got Cyclone Fanatic started, or helped get Cyclone Fanatic started. I get that. I respect the heck out of you. I respect the heck out of Jason.
We appreciate that. The feeling is very mutual.
Well, thank you.
What's the biggest difference in your job today compared to 30, 20 years ago? I know there's a million of them.
Besides the internet. I mean, besides the internet.
I guess maybe a better question is, how has the internet changed how you have to do your job?
Oh, my gosh. We're more 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that's where it's breaking news all the time. I mean, it's, we used to just put out a newspaper and no website. We didn't have to worry about updating a website, for gosh sakes. We had to worry about updating the newspaper every day. So now we're basically 24, we're on the job 24/7. And it didn't used to be that way. But I mean, now if there's, a student athlete who breaks a law at mm-hmm. midnight or so, you know, we'll get a phone call at midnight from a breaking news editor at the office who we've got people down there all night, 24 hours, saying that the Ames cops are just flashed across the Ames cops or Iowa City, whatever. I don't just want to say Ames, but Iowa City cops. Or whatever.
That's who you cover, though. That makes sense.
Yeah. That somebody's in trouble. You better get on it because we'll get something on the website real quick. So I mean that's changed.
How did you do that 20 years ago though, before the internet? Because what's to say last Thursday with Bryce and John Jones, you get on the Story County M8 site, you see his picture. 20 years ago, how did you find out about that?
20 years ago, we'd get tipped off.
And then you just drive up to the jail.
We'd get tipped off and we'd make a phone call. We'd make a phone call.
I forget there were phones.
There were phones back then. Yeah, they weren't as nifty as this one I'm holding up right now. But we'd just make a phone call or drive up to the jail, sure, and find out what was going on. But 20 years ago, we did not. Unfortunately, let's go back 30 years.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we did not pay as much attention to the lives of student athletes as we do now. Their lives were, in our estimate, in our reporting, were not a 24/7 open book, which I'm glad it is right now. I'm glad it's the way it is right now because these kids are getting full ride scholarships. Mm-hmm. They need to be above the law. You can say whatever you want about the role model thing, but I still think they need to be somewhat of a role model. Yes, I know you're adult, your parents, guardian, whatever is your biggest role model, but still there are kids out there looking up to George Nyang. And George Nyang is a perfect one to look up to. I don't even, you know, even including the kiss in the end of the Iowa game. George Nyang is a perfect one to look up to. I mean, so there are kids doing that. And I think athletes need to know that. Most of them do. Most of them know it. But 30 years ago, we weren't paying attention to when – if Bryce DeJean Jones would have happened 30 years ago, we wouldn't have paid attention to it. In all honesty, unless there was something really, really major.
So is your job easier now because of the tools that the internet gives you, or is it more difficult because of the 24-hour news cycle?
The actual nuts and bolts of doing my job is probably easier when the internet works.
Yeah.
I just blew a laptop.
Man,
I know.
I'm on a
roll on that one. I just blew a laptop after the Iowa State, whoever they played on Sunday. I don't remember who they played. Southern. Yeah, I shut it down and I got done, and then I fired it up when I got home Sunday night, and it would not come back on.
Remember my debacle in San Antonio?
Oh yeah, we both had a debacle. Sorry, both had a debacle.
Yeah, because you didn't have the.
I blew my mouse.
Yeah, your mouse blew up. So here's this backstory on that, everybody. Peterson's down there in the mouse pad on your laptop quit working.
Right.
Isn't that how it works?
Right, exactly. It froze.
Yeah. And then a day later, my laptop the hard drive went out.
Yeah.
That was a trip from hell.
It was. And I think somebody else, did Halas not have a problem or something? Somebody else might have had a problem.
Oh, yeah. And then we all had flight problems on the way home.
Yeah.
Not you and I particularly, but like Rob Gray, I remember his flight he was moved all around. And
yeah.
Yeah. And then Nyang broke his foot.
Yeah. But anyway, so the actual, when everything works right with the internet and everything, the actual writing of stories, that's a lot easier. I mean, you can write a story and push a button and 5 minutes later, it's on the internet. And then from there, it gets published into the newspaper. Back 30 years ago, I'll just answer it before you even ask.
where I'm going with this.
Back 30 years ago, have you ever seen a typewriter?
Yes, I've seen one. Because I worked at KMA Radio. Before I came here. And they've got...
They're probably the last radio station. I love those people, by the way, and you and I have talked about them before. Those people are probably the last radio station in Iowa to go to computers, I'm guessing.
I don't know, but I do know that they've got, like, they've got these artifacts from old school KMA all around the place. It's really... They've redone the place now, and I'm not sure what they've done with it, but they had, their typewriters, and there's, like, these old radio tools and stuff like that. That's how I would know what a typewriter is.
My wife and I were at Brass Armadillo last night. You know where that is on 2nd?
Down by the barbecue joint?
Yeah, down by Smokey D. Okay. We just happened to be at Smokey D's.
All right.
We were at the Brass Armadillo last night just looking around at stuff because my daughter wants something that's really ancient.
Well, Christmas shopping?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I saw a typewriter, and I honest to gosh, I was gonna buy it. I was gonna buy it and take it home and give to my and show my 5-year-old granddaughter who's just smarter than a whip. I was like, you know what this is, and just to see her reaction. But anyway, back 30 years ago, we used to have typewriters. We used to carry a typewriter with us.
You would carry it from your car up to the press box?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm not done yet.
No. Okay.
Don't interrupt.
All right.
Okay.
I'm done. It's all you.
You got to have paper to put in the typewriter, so we'd all carry a bunch of paper with us, too.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And then it doesn't just – how would you get it? Now, think about this one. You're typing your story, on a piece of paper, and you're done with one piece of paper, and you got another piece of paper, and you rip it out, and you got another piece of paper, and you rip it out. What do you do with those pieces of paper?
I have no idea.
You've got a machine. You carry another machine with you. And it was like a fax machine 30 years ago? Yeah, you carry a fax machine with you, sort of. But it was kind of a mobile thing. It was huge, though, and it was heavier than hell. So you'd set it on, you'd get the fax machine type thing out.
Yeah.
Did you carry it in a suitcase, set it up, and then get on the phone, not cell phone, obviously. You'd get on a phone, call a certain number, you'd hear a beep, stick the phone into the fax machine, And then it goes around on a cylinder, and then when one page was done, it would beep at you, pull it out, stick another page in, do the same thing, pull it out, stick another page in until the story's done, and then hope that they got it on the other end.
I was going to say, how often did that contraption malfunction? Because that seems like
it malfunctioned quite a bit, actually. Yeah. And there were a lot of typos that got in the paper. A lot of typos because people are then having to retype. stuff, because there were computers back then. But we certainly didn't have them on the road, but people were having to retype all that stuff into the system back at the Des Moines Register or any newspaper in the country. That's how every newspaper was operated.
See, I guess thought that you guys would just pick up a phone and call and read the story.
Been there, done that too.
Did you handwrite it? Like, is there a time before the typewriter thing?
No, I didn't. I never did handwrite anything unless on emergency.
Okay.
But, there have been times where the phone line has been so weak that the telecopier thing would not work. So yeah, you get on the phone and you dictate to somebody. When I first started, I covered a lot of high school sports.
Yeah.
So I'm covering high school football games at night, Shenandoah, Clarinda.
Yeah.
You know, I cover a lot of that stuff. I mean, that's back when the Register was a true state newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Covered a lot of that stuff. So I get on the phone and just dictate off the top of my head. And so you have to make sure you get somebody on the other end of the phone and hope that person's pretty good, because they can help you, because you're dictating off the top of your head, and sometimes it's just colder than heck outside. But we had a lot of stuff to carry with us.
Were deadlines earlier back then?
They were later.
Interesting.
We used to go first edition. First edition used to be 10:55 p.m.
Wow.
That's first edition. That's the corner of the state.
Yeah.
That's the corner of the state.
Jeez.
Southwest Iowa, your parents, wherever, Sioux City, Dubuque, wherever, Clinton, Keokuk down in there.
Burlington. See, I would think it would be the opposite.
No,
I would think without the technology, it would be more difficult to get the paper.
I agree. Yeah. No, but it wasn't. It wasn't, because the Register at the time was the true statewide newspaper.
Yeah.
We're the true paper of the state of Iowa.
You still are.
Upon. Well, I hope so.
You still are.
But it's mostly the website now. I mean, I don't think, but our deadlines are horrible.
I still get the paper.
Good for you. I thank you for that.
I do.
My mom gets the paper, and she lives in Des Moines.
I'm an internet guy, obviously, but I have the utmost respect for holding a paper in my hand.
I know. It's just the feeler. It's something. What I like about the newspaper, and granted, I've got a way to get into, I've probably showed you how to do it on the internet, but we're sitting in an airport somewhere, but I like to see what stories played where.
Yeah.
I want to see what stories are getting the top billing, what the editor, the sports editor, the news editor, whatever, the entertainment editor, what stories they're seeing as the most important, and they're putting up, you know, higher than other stories. I want to see how they play those. I want to see the pictures
mm-hmm.
that go along with those stories. So yeah, I want the physical feel of a newspaper. And then when I get back home at night, I want to go back over and read some stuff.
Absolutely.
Do you remember the Des Moines Tribune?
No.
You've heard of it?
You know, I didn't grow up here.
Okay.
So, I mean, back where I'm from, it's the Omaha World Herald.
Right.
I mean, when I read the paper every day as a child, but I was reading the World Herald.
Tribune was the afternoon paper.
Interesting. So you had two. You had a morning.
Had a morning and an afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, and I think I don't know when the Tribune died for sure. It was sometime in the 80s. There was a morning and an afternoon paper. Do you ever heard of the Big Peach?
Yeah, that's where I was going.
See, you need some big peaches in here.
Do we have some of those lying around the Register office?
I probably got some lying around at home.
See, that's how I envision this office being when I'm done with it. Is I've saved a bunch of cool headlines from you guys from the Iowa State-Iowa game in Iowa City a couple years ago. Like, not so fast was the headline.
Yeah.
That's what I envision, because I just have a passion for the business. It's not the internet thing. I do, and that's why I get it every day, and I read your...
you got ink under your fingers, like the fingernails, like
I do.
We all do.
I do the obituaries, you know, stuff like... With my background at KMA, I read the obituaries.
Right.
You know, I understand how important that is, though. I'll tell you what.
The lunch menus, the school closings.
The correspondence, yes. Where it would be like, you know, Aunt Maud from Blanchard writing about how she had, like, her third cousins over for dinner the other night. And that actually shows up in the paper. And we joke about it, but it's these people's lives.
I know it is.
And I have so much respect for the small papers, the weeklies, the small town radio guys.
Right.
That's a grind. You got to really love what you do. It's not a luxurious profession.
Back when I, exactly. Tell me about it. I mean, back when I was covering high schools, I remember Lee Hughes,
Lee Hughes?
And those guys, you know,
Dale Sandquist,
those guys, yeah, who'd crawl up into their little perch at a high school football game, at the high school football playoff game in the middle of November, and it's colder than hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember those times. I remember those. So yeah, those are cool.
It's the best. Me personally, I don't want to make this about me, but I'm going to encourage young sports writers to listen to this. The best advice I can give them is to get a job like that.
Yeah.
Because when I was at KMA, and Brent Bloom was working there with me, but so he's experienced this as well, but we would go to broadcast in northwest Missouri, and so we're broadcasting like a quadruple header on our FM station of these teams.
And you're your own stat person too now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're doing our own stats. We're our own producer. There's nobody, because nowadays with the tie line is what it's called, you can play your own commercials on the site. So you don't have a producer back talking to you. You know, this is Chris Williams for KMA Sports. And a lot of people, in a lot of times, there's a guy in the background who will play a commercial and then he'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Not anymore. So not only you're keeping your own stats, you're doing play-by-play of the game, you're playing your own commercials, and you have to watch because you talked about those weak phone lines. You're dropping out.
Yes.
You know, half the time. Yeah. And doing something like that really makes me appreciate what we get to do now.
Exactly.
Much more than I did when I was 22 years old working at scout.com.
And we've got it pretty good now as far as communicating our stories from remotely from, you know, one site to another, I mean, to the Register. Lord only knows where it's going to be in 10 years. I hope I find out.
You will.
Hope I'm around to find out.
How long are you going to do this?
I don't know. My wife and I have talked about that, and she doesn't want me around. I mean, in a good way. No, it's just that I still feel good.
I think I think you would miss the relationships more than anything.
I would miss the relationships. Absolutely, I would. It's
you know everybody.
That's part of being around for parts of five decades also. But and my role has changed over the last couple of years. Rick Brown's role has changed over the last couple of years. We're now viewed as columnists, write opinions about myself about Iowa State and Rick about Iowa. And to bring, not necessarily to be a smartass all the time, which I have been occasionally.
That's why I love you.
But also to make, at some point within the column, at some point within the opinion, to make somebody say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Or, wow, I disagree with that son of a bitch. I disagree with him. I disagree with him, and I'm going to let him know about it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Good. Please do.
Write us. Know,
generate conversation. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not taking pot shots at anybody. I thought I was fair to Bryce. I said I ended a column a week ago, whatever it was. I said, next time Bryce, go get a headset.
Yeah.
You know, plug your Xbox in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think I took a pot shot at Paul Rhodes where I said that if Iowa State doesn't go to a bowl game after next season, that maybe Iowa State needs to start looking in another direction as far as a football coach. So, I think I'm fair, but I also want to help people think. But I also try to set people straight too. I get so tired of people saying that I've been a season ticket holder for 25 years and I'm not going to get season tickets anymore. Okay, so I'll get emails like that and I'll say, okay, please call me about this, and the person will call me. And I say, okay, what's your name? I'm just use your name in a story. Oh no, I don't think so. I was just kidding. You know, I'm probably not going to do that. But I'm just frustrated right now. I'd love to call people's bluffs like that too.
Yeah,
I do. You see that a lot on not your just your board, but all the message boards.
We get a lot of that
as well. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I like to be the, generate conversation. Yeah, but I also try to be fair. I think I am fair.
In
what I write. So, but our jobs have changed, and I'm really getting used to it. I really like having a voice, as my, whatever my career ends. And I can see that doing this for another 10 years.
That had to be somewhat difficult though, because you were for so long, it was supposed to be down the middle,
right?
Beat reporter, no opinion, report the news.
Right.
And then you're asked, I mean, how many years into your career we want opinion? We want more opinion.
40-plus years into my career, they said, okay, we want you to write opinion now. Okay.
What did sure. What was that like at first?
It was scary at first.
Yeah.
I mean, I was probably 60 years old when they told me to do that. It was scary at first. Because number one, I said, I don't have any opinions. And I soon found out that I did.
Absolutely, you do.
and then secondly, I said, who the heck's going to care about my opinions? And then I figured out that when I wrote that the Iowa State football series should stop.
Okay, I'm sure you heard about it.
I did from both sides. Yeah. From both sides. And I do think that football series should stop, by the way. But, yeah. So, I mean, I guess I do have opinion, and I didn't think I did. So, I really enjoy it. And I get snarky sometimes, but I figure I have to let my personality show. And it's a good way for Rick Brown to show his personality and me to show my personality through our stuff. And I think that's part of who we are. I mean, it's, you've seen me during football games. I walk around the parking lot 3 hours before games. Yeah. You know, you're doing your pregame show and I walk by and wave at you, you know, yep. Whatever. And then I go
every day for every game for 5 years.
Then I go right and hang out with John Fleming for a while, or then go down and sit with the Rohatches for a while, or you know, the quarterback Sam Richardson's, or you always run into the Woodies or whatever. So, So, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of getting to know the people, hanging with the people, being there for them to yell at you if you want to, you know, just to be part of it. So
not that you needed it, but did the move to columnist rejuvenate you? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it did. It gave me a second wind. It really did. Yeah. It did. It's just like moving from football to basketball. And not just necessarily bad football to good basketball. I mean, just moving from one season to another, it was a breath of fresh air. Yeah, it was a new start. It was something different, and you know, so far I really like it.
How great has it been for you to have your longtime colleague Rick Brown with you side by side for how many years have you guys worked together? I guess
40, 30. I think he's been there 35 to 40.
I would love to be a fly on the wall of all the conversations you guys have had over
the
years.
It's great. I mean, I think we're each other's best friend. I mean, as far as not family related, but it's we're within 5 minutes of each other in the out in Pea Hill and
East Side.
I'm born and bred East Sider.
Heck yeah.
Rick's from Fort Dodge, but I was born on the East Side, East High School, baby. But it's very good because we can bounce things off of each other. You know, he's covered Iowa State. I've covered Iowa. I mean, he's closer to Iowa, and I'm closer to Iowa State. It's been good. I mean, we talk. You've been around us in the office before. I mean, it's just like we talk like we're in a clubhouse,
mm-hmm.
or in a locker room. I mean, not necessarily the vulgarity, but sometimes, sometimes.
You guys are actually pretty clean compared to a lot of sports writers.
Yeah,
I've heard.
Yeah, we can be clean.
Yeah, you really are.
No, we are. I mean, you don't need to go out there and act like idiots all the time. But it's a neat relationship we have. We bounce things off of each other, and you know, we help each other with ideas. I think we're going to be working on something cool this summer it'll be fun.
Don't want to play your hand
no,
to the
not
fanatics?
Gonna, no, not going to do that yet, but it'll be fun. So, I mean, it's you know, and just like Rick, I mean, he's basically the same age as I am, maybe a little bit younger, maybe 5 years younger, but it gave him second wind. Also, I'm not saying we were getting stale, don't get me wrong.
No, I don't believe
a whole
that you...
different. No, it was just a whole different... It was just a whole different ball game, a whole different avenue for us to pursue, and it was fun.
That's one thing I love about you guys, and Rick too. You seem to be – you actually enjoy this. I see a lot of sports writers and the fans out there listening right now find this hard to believe, but when you go to games year after 40 years, like you're talking about, it really – you become sensitized to what's going on around you. I've seen this happen to me, and I'm only 30, where – there's no fan left in you. It's why I love going to the Iowa Speedway. I actually quit doing that KXNO show because it was ruining like the one pure where I can just go out there and sit and have a beer
with
my dad and turn four and enjoy it. You guys seem to really have fought that off where you enjoy – that's where you're in your element.
I am.
Is that a game?
Yeah, exactly. At an event, there's no fandom. There is no fandom in me whatsoever. Oftentimes, my wife and I both went to Drake. when I'm not covering an Iowa State basketball game, we'll go to as many Drake basketball games as we could. And last night we actually started out there, out headed to Drake game.
Tell Jeff Rutter hi for me.
Yeah, I know. I love Rutter. I don't know when this is airing. But Monday night we actually started out towards the Drake game, and then all of a sudden it started pouring. Mm-hmm. And I said to my wife, I said, do we really want to go to Drake game and walk 5 blocks in the rain? And she said, no. I said, good. I said, let's just go to Smokey D. And so we went to Smokey D's, and that's when we went to, ended up at the Armadillo. But yeah, so we did start out there. But yeah, we both went to Drake. She's a huge basketball fan. She is absolutely number one basketball fan that I know. I mean, she got into that billion-dollar thing, the bracket thing.
I remember that.
She's got all her stuff. I mean, she's got papers on files on every contending team in the country.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I need to know something about, Mississippi Valley State, who Iowa State plays in a couple of weeks. You know, I'll say, hey, Pat, help me out here. What do they got
she
going
knows
for
it.
Them? Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. She's a Ken Palm person.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
She likes the advanced statistic. Yeah. What do you think about those?
I don't know. I was looking at some of this. I still can't figure it all out.
it's hard.
It's way over my head on some stuff. But I'd like to look at the individual statistics and where these kids rank, sometimes nationally and things like that. Points per possession is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Also, but, that's another thing about how this has changed. There's so many statistics out there. I mean,
I know.
It's just
especially
ridiculous.
In your old wheelhouse baseball.
Yes. Yeah. Old wheelhouse. That's right. Yeah. I mean, my gosh, yes. I mean, it's almost like they've, I don't know. I don't want to say ruin the sport, but it's certainly become a sport where, Moneyball. I guess it's all about Moneyball. I mean, that was statistics driven and who does best against left-handed pitchers on days that end in or on Mondays and Thursdays, or whatever. So it's gotten really odd like that, but it's part of who we are, I guess.
Do you ever think about leaving Iowa?
Never, ever, absolutely never, ever even gave it one thought. Born in Des Moines, born on the east side of Des Moines. Both our daughters are in town. My granddaughters are in town. Everybody's within 5 minutes of my or 10 minutes of my house. No, never leaving. Farthest we got from Des Moines was Ankeny for about 25 years. That was it.
And that was before Ankeny is what it
that
is.
That was now. Oh yeah, my gosh, you drive out here now and
it's crazy.
My wife's sister still lives out here, and a lot of her family's out here, so I'm out here about once a week. But still, it's. It's crazy the way this whole town has grown, but I'm a Des Moines guy. It's I'm never gonna move. I don't even want to go south if I ever retire.
You won't ever retire.
My mom's in town. No, I don't think so either. My mom's in town. I see her a couple times a week, so it's everything's good.
If you do retire, I want to come visit.
No, you don't.
If it's like in Florida.
You don't want any. Oh, yeah. It won't be.
We can go like deep sea fishing or.
I already live on a lake. I don't need any of that stuff. I live on Copper Creek. Please, I live around the corner from Woody's in-laws.
That's my favorite golf course in Des Moines.
It is.
I love it.
We could have bought on the lake, or we could have bought on the golf course, and we bought on the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good spot.
Yeah.
All right.
Right around the corner from Woody's in-laws.
Final journalism question. We have a lot of young people who listen to our podcast. Mm-hmm. Give them your number one tip, because this is, frankly, it's a tough business to start off in, as I referenced earlier. You don't make a lot. Your hours are stupid. It's tough to hang on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of kids out there, and they're listening now, and they're probably graduating in May. What advice would you give
them? Okay, and I'm terrible with names. I am absolutely horrible with names. Who are the two kids? The Valley High School kids who are the Cyclone One Nation guys. Do you know who I'm talking about?
The Twitter account?
Yeah.
I don't know their names, but I know who you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I know exactly
I met
who you're
them this
about.
Summer or two summers ago because I went to a lot of the Cap City League basketball games.
Yep.
And just by myself, just something to do during the summer. I went to a lot of those games, most of those games, and all of a sudden one day one of these kids came up and asked, are you Randy Peterson? I said, yeah. And they said, can we sit down and talk to you for a while? I was, for sure. It was great. And I ended up finding out that they were the Cyclone One Nation guys. Had a very engaging conversation. They were asking me the same thing. How do you get into the business? What do you tell people? First thing I told them was, do what you're doing right now. Be someplace where you don't have to be. Just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out and just absorb as much as you can. That's the... I give that advice to to anybody who wants to be in this, to get into this business. Know what you're talking about sports, but just do not go to press conferences and just do not go to events. Just hang out also and live the sport you're covering as much as you can. I mean, and still have a family life. I mean, I've been able to manage both. It's been tough, but
you really have to live it though.
You do. You do. There's no time off. I mean, you just sit there and thankfully my wife likes to watch basketball on TV. So yeah. Thankfully, that's among the hundreds of things we have in common. We watch ball and she tapes it, so, I mean, it's great.
You have to marry someone who understands though.
Yes. And it's tough for them to understand sometimes also. And it is. And it's, everybody makes concessions. Patty's probably made more concessions. Obviously she has. She basically raised our two daughters. Because at that time when they were growing up, I was covering high school sports, and that's the toughest job there is.
Oh, absolutely.
Traipsing all over the state. But it's tough. But you have to, anybody coming up in this business, know your sport. Anybody that wants to be a journalist, know your sport, and just hang out as much as your lifestyle can afford.
Let's move on to Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
They just dismantled Iowa in Iowa City. They did it without.
Could have been worse.
Yeah, well, I think it was worse than the score indicated,
right.
But whatever. They did it without Bryce Dejean-Jones. Mm-hmm. And Jameel McKay. Well, first of all, let's start there with Jameel McKay. Seth Greenberg, the ESPN analyst, sent out a tweet. Did you see this tweet?
I did.
He sent out, it fired a few people up. What kind of an impact do you see him making? I don't think he starts, and I read what you wrote too. I don't think either one of us are expecting that. But season long, what do you expect from this kid?
He's not Shaquille O'Neal.
No.
I think we've all built him up, myself included, you included, have built him up to be Shaq. There's no way. I mean, I saw him play this summer, yeah.
He's like a third of Shaq as far as
yeah, exactly.
Width goes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw him play this summer, which is fine. And I also saw Boo-Boo average a triple-double two
Correct.
Summers ago in the Cap City League. So, and Sherron Dorsey-Walker, I think, averaged a triple-double this year maybe. But, he's not Shaq. He's going to play a lot. He'll start maybe by the time the Big 12 comes, and Naz will go to the bench, and that's fine.
You think Naz?
Yeah.
That'd be the guy?
It depends on what the matchups are, but I would guess, who are you going to put there?
The only other guy I would think would be Hogue.
Oh, man, I don't know. I disagree. That's going to move him out to the three where he was killing everybody last year in rebounds.
I just think that you're fine really whatever you do, because I think any of the three would be good off the bench from an energy standpoint. I really don't think you can lose.
No, you can't. You cannot lose because they're not going 10 deep.
No.
They're not going 9 deep. They're going 8 deep maybe.
Adozie's the guy who's really left out now.
Right, right. But he's fine with that. He won them last year, the BYU game.
Yeah.
What was Iowa State seeded last year? Four? Three? Four?
They were a 4 seed because they played North Carolina as a 5.
4 seed. Okay. Would Iowa State have been seeded 4 if Adozie not blocked that shot at the end of the BYU game? Probably not.
Adozie had a lot of little great moments last year.
Exactly. Absolutely,
and he's had some this year too.
He has.
He was 2-for-2 against
Iowa.
He's
very active under the boards. So yeah, it's going to add a whole new dynamic to that. I mean, are we talking about McKay? We are.
Yeah, Jameel.
McKay, when he does move into the starting lineup, which is if he's everything we think he's going to be, which he is, George will move to the 4. Hogue moves to the 3. He'll start out rebounding everybody like he did last year all the time, and then you've got Bryce and you've got Monte. And then with Naz coming
then
off
you
the
got
bench.
Naz and Matt are
yeah,
your
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Nat's and Nat. Matt is shooting it like we knew he would. Last game may have been a little blip. But he's shooting it. He's got his confidence.
I have a theory on him. So he's like 1 out of his last 10.
Yeah.
The one he made,
yeah.
He couldn't think.
Right, exact. Good point.
Fast break.
Yeah.
Buzzer
Block
beater.
Block shot, fast break, buzzer beater.
I just think he thinks too much.
Yeah.
He clearly can play.
Right, yeah.
It's just, if you get him to quit thinking.
Set feet, shoot, score.
He'll be that guy.
Yes.
He didn't, I mean, he just reacted to that play.
He did.
He made the shot.
He did. That's exactly what Fred teaches those guys, too. It's got to be muscle memory, just repetition. Don't overthink it. Let the coaches do that and get it up and shoot it. Jameel is going to be a presence. He's going to make people think twice before driving the lane. I think that that's going to be good. Although Iowa State wasn't horrible last year in the paint by any means. He's going to alter things quite a bit. He's active. He'll run the floor. He can shoot it. I saw him shoot it during some three pointers during the summer league. I don't know whether that's necessarily his niche, but you know, Fred, he's not going to recruit anybody that can't shoot that three ball. So he'll draw the opponent big guys out. He's not going to be Royce White. He's not going to be Shaquille O'Neal, shall we say, but he's going to add a dimension that this team hasn't had none of Fred teams have had. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. And I think that the players, primarily Naz, Adosie, Matt Thomas, are comfortable enough with their roles that they know they'll be getting a lot of minutes each game. They know that their contributions will be very significant throughout the season. There'll be no rotation problems with this team.
Where is this, just pure talent-wise, where is this Iowa State team at compared to ones you've covered before?
Wow, it's certainly the most talented I've seen at Iowa State.
Even more
at Iowa State under Fred. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know. 90... Gosh,
those teams are pretty
good.
I'm
not a good person to ask that stuff. I was looking at some stuff today I just happened to glance back at Michigan State, Iowa State. What year was that? 99, 98,
yep,
2000,
yep.
Whatever that was. And
yep.
It should have been the Final Four. There was some pretty good talent on the floor that day.
That was a pretty ridiculous team.
Yeah, but this team is could be right there. Maybe if not this year, then next year for sure. There's a Final Four someplace in the next 2 years.
Wow.
I do think so.
Well, and
if everybody stays as they are now, I mean, unless there's obviously,
I think they will.
Shocking surprise.
I think Monte goes pro after next year.
Really?
I think
Let's talk about that one.
I think he goes pro after his junior year.
Let's talk about that one. Can he shoot? Can he score from that position like they do in the pros?
I think by that time, yes.
Okay.
He
will be able to get banged around.
By that
Once
time,
again,
yes.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I think by that time,
He's transformed his body so much from year one to year two. Yeah.
The reason I said that is because I was doing what you've always encouraged me to do and talk to people, right?
Right.
The Georgia State game. I talked to some scouts.
Yes.
Before the game. Nah, none of these guys are ready to go this year.
Yeah.
You know, DeJon Jones.
Yeah.
He's a European guy. Niang's going to be a great European player. We'll see if he can play in the NBA.
Right.
We have we're still looking at Matt Thomas a little bit to see if he can become the, you know, Dan Marley type
right,
shooter
yes.
that everybody wants him to be.
Yeah.
Afterwards, when I was walking down to the press conference, I talked to the same scout. Yeah, you might want to keep an eye on that Monte Morris.
Yeah.
And that was arguably one of Monte's best games.
Right.
I don't remember his exact stat
He was playing
line.
Excuse me. He was playing against some pretty good guards, too.
He was. And that's what the guy kind of pointed
yeah.
out to me. And his point was, that's your guy. As far as next
yeah.
level, like right now, who we would be zeroing in on. That's your guy. So I just think that if he – I mean, I wasn't concerned, but I was really interested to see how he would play without DeAndre. And he's better.
He is better. Maybe that's just because if he's got a year of maturity also.
Yeah.
And – DeAndre made him a very good player last year, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Monte is a better player.
He was kind of – that was kind of like Aaron Rodgers learning under Brett Favre, except he's actually playing
yeah.
what we saw last
good
year
point, yeah.
with Monte. And I just think that he's – because the big question – I remember talking to Doc. I think it was Doc before the season last year. It was in, like, July. And they were talking about, you know – this is a kid who realistically could use a redshirt year.
Right, yeah.
Because he was so small, he wasn't a great shooter, and then they showed up for practice, and he was twice the player that he was over the summer months. And then he just got better and better, and now look at him. I think that if he makes any sort of a – he's a guy who I bet – he played on Team USA this last summer.
Right.
I bet he goes somewhere this summer.
Right, yeah, he
I
will.
Think he may be a three-and-done type guy.
It could be. He could be. I mean, were you standing there last year in New York with us when we were talking to Mateen?
Yes. Yes, I was there. Yeah.
Mateen's really high on him. And, yeah, I know some of that is just Flintstone talking about Flintstone. I get that. Mm-hmm. But Mateen was high on him, and I think there was a lot of sincerity there. So I guess we'll see how he does in the Big 12. He certainly has played very well last year, and he hasn't let up any this year. You know, he dominated Iowa's guards. For shit, I caught some flack a couple of weeks ago when I wrote, actually last week, I talked to Fraschilla during the Big 12 thing, whenever that was, October. When were we down there? October? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Fraschilla said that we were talking about Monte, and Fraschilla compared him to B.J. Armstrong, and I'm sitting there, oh, God, here we go.
That's solid, though.
But I thought it was pretty good, and I saved it. I didn't ever use it. And then I figured I'd just pull it out during the Iowa State week if Monte's having a good game and if that could be a significant position, or if Monte's having a good season and if it's a significant position. And it was. And I pulled it out, and predictably the Iowa fans didn't like that, but that's fine. But I thought the comparison was very interesting, the BJ to Monte. I mean, BJ's more of a scorer, Monte's more of a ball handler. You know, BJ was a first-round draft choice.
Yeah.
Also, but
wasn't BJ Armstrong the first pick in the expansion draft by the Toronto Raptors?
Oh man, I don't know.
I want to say he was the first or second pick in that expansion draft.
Oh my, I don't know that one.
I'm going back.
You are.
I was a.
So you're a historian, and I'm not.
I was a huge BJ Armstrong fan. Because I grew up an Iowa fan. A lot of people know this. Like a lot of people in the state.
Sure.
You grow up an Iowa fan, you go to Iowa State, and whatever happens. But I loved B.J. Armstrong. He didn't play for – I mean, he played for Iowa before I could remember anything. But he played for the Bulls, who are my favorite team, so I gravitated towards him. And so I loved that compare. And he's a class guy. Demeanor-wise, he reminds me a lot of – Monte Morris, I love that comparison.
Yeah. And the Michigan thing going, so
yeah,
You know, and I for sure pulled that out of the air. I mean, I didn't bait him or anything. He just pulled it out of the air, and I thought that was very interesting.
We've talked Final Four one of the next 2 years. You think that's very possible?
I do think it's possible. It's all about matchups. You know that.
Absolutely.
It's your 100% about matchups.
That's what I like about this team, though.
Exactly. They can adapt.
Yeah. Because we were just talking about, well, who do you take out of the starting lineup? Well, I think either one of our options are fine, just depending on who you're playing.
Last year, they'd have got to the Final Four if George didn't get hurt. I mean, the matchup with Connecticut was good for Iowa State with George. Certainly, the matchup with Michigan State, who they'd play in the next round, was good with George.
Yeah.
They'd have gotten to the Final Four. 2 years ago, they'd have gotten to the Final Four. If they wouldn't have got that – the block charge thing.
The bracket was wide open for them, man.
they were going west in a very easy bracket. Who was that kid that made that shot?
Oh, God. Kraft.
Yeah, Aaron Kraft.
Everybody hates him.
I know. Yes, Aaron Kraft.
He's kind of Niang's a lot like Aaron Kraft.
Yes, exactly. Like. Lightning rod.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
What did you think about the kiss?
I loved it. I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, I was on with Kenny Miller yesterday, and Miller asked me about it, and loving it's a strong, but I had no problem with it.
It's not like he told him to suck it or
no,
anything.
No, exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's a guy? What's a defensive lineman or a linebacker do when he sacks a quarterback? He stomps around behind the sack and he goes through some contortions. What does a defensive back do when he makes a great play and knocks a ball away from a receiver? He makes a great he does all kinds of contortions. What did EJ Bibbs do when he catches a touchdown pass? He salutes.
Yep.
Okay.
And one time gets flagged.
Yes. One time gets flagged for it. So when George Niang, and this certainly wasn't the first time George Niang blew a kiss. Last year, the video thing that they do for the players before the introduction, it ended with him blowing a kiss against somebody. Just because he did it at the University of Iowa on the floor of Carver Hawkeye, just happened to be at the end of towards the student section. Okay, maybe a little outlandish, but that's George. It's who he is. Nobody, if you take the reins off of him, then Fred's not about to do that. Fred said the right things. You know, he said, I wish he wouldn't have done it, and he does. George said he probably would have, if he would have had it to do over again, he wouldn't have done it. But that's the thing, that
I think
he was
just
spontaneous.
He
didn't plan it. Oh, yeah. He didn't plan it. It's not like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to 42 seconds to go. I'm going to really get the Iowa fans mad. He already did that a year ago.
If George really wanted to take that back, he wouldn't be retweeting vines of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who George is. You know, he's the guy last year who the crowds were chanting that their girlfriends had bigger, or he had bigger breasts than their girlfriends or whatever it was. I mean, because of the whole muscle structure, the body structure at the end of the season. He's taken it and he can dish it out. And he's the guy that how do you not like George Yang?
Oh, I know.
I mean, Iowa fans probably wish they had one.
Absolutely.
Or anybody, I don't know. He'd probably do the same thing against Okie State. I don't know, Kansas. He has done it against Kansas. He got a technical for something a couple of years ago.
Like he chest bumped
somebody.
He did the pound of his chest or something.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that's George. That's who he is.
Is he as unique of a guy, just in the sense because he has all that personality? He'll give you the quote. It's not personality behind the scenes. But he backs it up on the court, too.
Right.
I mean, how unique is he over the course of your career?
He's as unique as – Royce was close.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
Royce was very close. But George is he's one of a kind. I don't know how – you know, we've pretty much hit him. I mean, and you've done – did you do a podcast with him down in Kansas City?
Yeah,
or
I did.
Something? I mean, his personality is just – I mean, you get him going about baseball. You get him going about everything, and he's very, very intelligent. Very intelligent.
What makes Hoiberg so great? This is your final question.
What makes Hoiberg?
You've studied coaches for 40 years. What makes him so great at what he does?
The fact that he's played the game, he's administered the game. He had good people around him, teaching him the game, and his parents are Karen and Eric. That's what's made him so great.
Elaborate more on that, on his parents.
On his parents?
Yeah, well, you've known them for a while?
Yeah.
Good people?
Very good people.
Yeah.
Fred was never got in a speck of trouble. I mean, it's just a cool family. I mean, it's an education background family. Grew up with Iowa State University. I mean, grew up around the university. Eric was teaching at the university. It's just part of Fred's, part of who Fred is. And they probably set standards higher for him because as they knew that, as it became evident that he was going to always be the best athlete wherever he was. I mean, growing up, whether it be AAU, grade school, junior high, you know, whatever, high school. And he's handled it. I don't think he never ever once got big-headed about anything because I covered Fred when he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
He's always kept a level head, and I've got to believe that came from Karen and Eric. And it's same kind of what he's instilling in his kids.
There's just no ego there.
There is absolutely no ego there. I mean, it's crazy. If there was an ego there, he'd have gone to the Warriors.
Yeah,
Golden State
or
last
any
year.
Other of the five any, teams that probably won.
Yeah, exactly. If there was an ego there, not to saying that it's not going to happen in 3 or 4 years down the road. I would never go there. But that's what makes Fred successful. He's a sponge. He's learned from other people. He's learned from Doc Sadler,
Bobby Lewis.
Bobby Lewis. He learned from Bobby Lewis. You know, the great hire, a great hire. You know, here's a fresh kid coming, never coached a college basketball game before, hiring Bobby, grizzled veteran like Bobby Lutz, taught him a lot of stuff. I mean, already had TJ on the staff at that time as well.
I think the keeping TJ was a really smart move,
right,
too, because he had the pre-existing relationship with Melvin Edgem and Deontay Garrett.
Right, those guys.
Fred, yeah, I mean, you just look at everything he's done from day one. It's a masterpiece.
He's around yourself, yeah. You surround yourself with good people, with Doc.
Yeah.
Doc, and then people thought that when Doc left, okay, now what are they going to do? Charlie's great.
Yeah.
I mean, people need to look at Charlie's resume. He's got a little resume to him going. So
yes, he's been a lot of places.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like surrounds himself with good people. He absorbed from people. You know, he talks about Larry Brown. He talks about Flip. He talks about Larry Bird. You know, he's just not name dropping.
No, that's real.
That is real. He's got these numbers in his phone. He gets their text messages. Yeah, and it was and Jamie Pollard, you have to credit him for taking a shot on him.
Mm-hmm. He threw a Hail Mary.
Yeah, exactly. it was Jeff Hornacek, Fred Hoiberg, you know, I was swore 2 days before Fred was named that it was going to be Jeff Hornacek. I mean, and so that's just how odd it was.
Wasn't Billy Gillespie like planting seeds in the local media? He did with me, at least. There was Billy Gillespie's name, and it was never legitimate. I don't think Pollard ever even considered that.
I think
that his agent had made some calls just trying to plant a few seeds or something.
I don't think there was anybody. We can say what we want to about Jeff Hornacek, but I think that Fred was day one.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, that's how Pollard tells the story.
I don't have any reason to doubt that. Yeah. I do not have any reason to doubt that there may have been some conversation later from Jeff Hornacek's people. But as long as Jamie got positive confirmation as they're sitting around the dinner table at the Hoiberg Palace on the lake or wherever it was. I think that's where they met, on the lake.
Yeah.
The castle. I think that it was Fred's all along.
This has been fun.
It has been fun. It went fast.
No, it did. We're about an hour. I got to let you go because I know you got to go.
I got to see my granddaughter.
Yeah, as you say, you got to go pick somebody up.
I got to see my granddaughter, yeah.
What's her name?
Carrington.
Oh, that's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
How old is she now?
She's 5. She's in kindergarten.
Oh, that's a fun age.
Yeah, it is.
That's like the best age.
I take her to ice cream after I pick her up from school. I take her and get ice cream every day, so we're good.
Man. Yeah. That's good. You better hope both of your metabolism keeps going.
I'm just getting over that 24-hour flu, too.
Daily
it lasted about 48 hours.
Oh, man.
I was a wreck on Sunday.
Were you?
Yeah. That's okay.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. It was a good time. We'll have to do it again.
We'll have to get you some pictures.
I want some old big pizza.
You need a Diet Coke machine, too.
We do. We need that. You'd be disappointed. The company refrigerator has Pepsi in it. It's just garbage. I can't. If I drink Pepsi, my head hurts for a week.
Oh man.
Nonetheless,
talk to Luch on that one. Like I said, I got damage on.
Yeah,
him,
we got to go and.
We got garbage on.
Throw some throw some ammo at him.
All right, get out of here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Randy,
it was fun.
Randy Peterson joining us from the Des Moines Register on today's Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Of course, always brought to you by our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. Check them out at iamenscenter.com. Thanks for listening, everyone.